Well, as I mentioned, it's great to have one of our missionary families, the McGeorge family, with us this evening. And they are missionaries in the country of Nauru. And I believe our church has been supporting them since about 2007, somewhere around there. You guys went to the field in 08, so like must have been like right as you guys were on deputation and things. And so we've been supporting them for a number of years, so we're glad to have them back with us this evening. And so, Brother McGeorge, why don't you come, introduce your wife, and I'll just kind of turn it over to you.
We're going to show you a video that was from last furlough in 2020. We haven't updated it yet for this one, and we'll show a couple of photos after that of the new building, but kind of take a trip there. Nauru's 1,800 miles northeast of Australia. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I think our nearest neighbor's about 400 and some miles away, and the whole island is 8 square miles. You can drive around the whole country in 20 minutes. It's about 12,000 people on the island, and that's where the Lord has called us to serve Him. And so thank you again for your prayers and support. I don't think there's any church that supports us, that communicates us quite like you guys do, and we sure appreciate that. So encouraging on the field when you get an email and say, you're our missionary of the week, and we're praying for you. Is there anything we can pray for specifically? That's such an encouragement to us, and I do my best to reply to all of them. I'm sorry if I don't, but it's a big help and encouragement to my wife and I and the work there, and so we sure appreciate that and appreciate your heart for missions, and so we'll show the video at this time. Hello, we are the McGeorge family, your missionaries to the small Central Pacific island nation of Nauru. We are Brother Adam, Christy, Elijah, Titus, and Gideon. We are sent by Pastor Doug Keppel and the Whittier Lane Baptist Church of Newcastle, Indiana. We serve on the field of Nauru with the assistance of the GIBM in Sherman, Texas, Director Dick Webster. Nauru is the world's smallest island republic. It possesses a total land area of about 8 square miles, or 21 square kilometers, the highest point of which is 233 feet above sea level. Its location is about 1,800 miles northeast of Australia, about 25 miles south of the equator. The nearest country to Nauru is Kiribati, whose capital, Tarawa, is 450 miles away. Nauru was first called Pleasant Island in 1798 by British whaling ship captain John Fearn. The 12 Nauruan tribes lived peaceably until the introduction of alcohol and firearms, which decimated the population from civil war. In 1888 through 1914, Nauru was under German control. In 1900, phosphate was discovered on the island by prospector Albert Ellis. In 1906, phosphate mining began. 1914 through 1968, Nauru was under Tri-Nations control of Australia, Great Britain, and New Zealand. During World War II, it was occupied by the Japanese, and they shipped half the Nauruan population to Truk for slave labor, and during the war, it was bombed by the Allied forces. And in 1968, the country gained its independence. During the 70s, 80s, and 90s, Nauru was the second richest country in the world per capita, second only to Saudi Arabia, from phosphate mining. In 1999, it became the world's smallest independent republic to be part of the United Nations. Nauru ceased to be a wealthy nation when the phosphate mining stopped, and it had some very tough years since the good old days. But in recent years, secondary phosphate mining has resumed as a major source of income. Also, the government of Australia has operated several refugee processing centres on Nauru, which is another source of income for the island, and the country also receives significant contributions from foreign aid. In our time on Nauru, we have seen several advances in the country, like the provision of 24-hour power, a reliable mobile phone network, and the opening of Bendigo Bank of Australia, whose branch on Nauru is the first functional bank the island has seen in over 20 years.
Life expectancy for men on Nauru is about 49 years of age and about 55 years of age for women. Drinking, smoking, gambling, obesity, and diabetes all contribute to this short life expectancy. Nauruans enjoy fishing and catching naughty birds, both of which are good food sources, and they also like playing games of any kind, especially Aussie rules football. They are very easygoing and generous and very family-oriented. One of the Nauruan public holidays is Angam Day on the 26th of October, which commemorates the recovery of the Nauruan population back to above 1500 after the two world wars. Nauru is home to pandanus trees, coconut palms, tamano trees, hibiscus, and many beautiful colors of the frangipani. We would like to say sincere thank you for your faithful prayer and financial support throughout our ministry on Nauru. Without your faithful support, we would not be able to serve the Lord on the field of Nauru. Through your prayers and financial support, you labor with us on the field, and together we are all laborers together with God. What a privilege and honor it is, each to be doing our part in the New Testament plan for reaching the world with the gospel through biblical church planting missions. The McGeorge family started deputation in March of 2006, and we have been on the field of Nauru since August of 2008. The International Baptist Church of Nauru began in January of 2009, and it was organized in May of 2010. Ministries of the International Baptist Church are Sunday morning and evening services and Thursday night Bible study. We also have monthly teen meetings, ladies meetings and men's breakfasts, annual men and boys camp out, church barbecues, and we are able to teach religious instruction at the high school. The church provides transport for all services using a 1995 Toyota Land Cruiser and the wagon on Sunday mornings and a 1994 Toyota Hiace van for Sunday evening and Thursday evening. On this furlough, we are raising funds to purchase a newer Toyota Hiace van. The approximate cost of the vehicle would be about $15,000 and about $8,000 in shipping to get the vehicle to Nauru. Please pray what the Lord would have you do in meeting this need on the field for us. In our third term on the field, we have seen some growth and progress in the work. We have had two ladies complete an advanced discipleship course, one of whom is now teaching Sunday school with Christy. We have had two revival meetings with Pastor Frank Wood and with Brother Dave McCracken, and we currently support three missionary families. We also took a mission trip to Kiribati to preach the first missions conference of the Taro Baptist Church and our missionary friend and neighbor, Joel Deku. We were also able to build restroom facilities. During the end of our third term, the Lord used a change in government in Nauru to bring about the registration of our church with the government of Nauru, enabling us to legally lease or own land on the island. Please pray for President Lionel Angamia as he seeks God's wisdom to lead the country of Nauru. Also, our last Sunday on the island, we had a family join and dedicate their newborn baby to the Lord. Our people of International Baptist Church would like to say thank you for sending the McGeorge family to Nauru.
I would like to thank Pastor Adam and Mrs. Christie for having me be part of their family in this church.
My name is Joseph. I'd like to give thanks to the church for coming to Nauru and changing my life. Thank you.
As far as our church needs go, please pray for funds for a new church vehicle. We're also asking the Lord to provide land for the church to buy or long-term lease. Please pray for the spiritual growth of the members of our church. Pray for men to train for the work of the ministry. Please pray for the salvation of souls on Nauru. Thank you again for your prayers and support of the McGeorge family, your missionaries to the uttermost part of the earth, the Republic of Nauru.
All right, so my mic is on. I got that while I was sitting down. So since that video, we've had the van that we raised money for last furlough for probably 2 years. And during our fourth term, our landlord asked to have her house back. And so she gave us about 6 months' notice to find a new place to live and a new place to have church services. And the Lord worked to where we're able to be in a newer house on land that we now have a church building on. And so we have a couple of photos of that, maybe. So that was the construction of it. It's basically just a kind of a pole barn building over a cement slab. And that was our first service on a Thursday night. Do notice the view in the background. It is tough to pay attention at church. So sometimes people are spotting dolphins. And that was our first Sunday. And so that was the last Sunday in August this year. And so that's kind of where we're at. We're still got more to do. We don't have any kitchen facilities or bathrooms on site. Our house is about 100 meters away from the church, so that can be used for some things. But we're hoping to get back and get some more done. We'd like to convert a shipping container into a kitchen and bathroom and then put some Sunday school facilities out the back of that. And so we're excited about what the Lord has done. It's interesting, you see the end of the video last time we're praying for land and the Lord has answered those prayers. So it's always good to remember the blessings of the Lord, even if sometimes it's not maybe in the speed or the way that we'd hope, but he still does work and we're sure thankful for that. If you have any questions or anything, stop by our display table and pick up one of our new prayer cards. We also have fridge magnets because most Baptists spend time in front of the fridge. And so whack us on there and you can pray for us while you're deciding what leftovers to finish off. So, but if you do have any questions, we'll do our best to answer those for you. And if we don't know the answer, we'll make something up, okay? If you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew 28, we won't stand or read from there just yet, but I want to share something with you this evening about going with the gospel yourself, be a missionary every day. And so when I've taught and preached missions previously, I go through a few different things. The first thing I usually tell people about missions is you are your first missions offering. So give yourself to God. And if you give yourself to God in the area of missions, He'll take care of everything else. And so it starts there, giving yourself to God, and also tithing. You can't give an offering to missions until you've first tithed. Then I talk about starting somewhere, prove your love for God by giving to His work, and just start somewhere with missions, even if it's only $1 or $5. Start somewhere and then watch the Lord grow your faith through that. Give according to what you have, not what you don't have. You know, it's not, oh Lord, if you give me $50,000, I'll give to missions. It's giving according to what He's blessed you with right now. And pray while you give. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for places in this world that are without missionaries. People in the 1040 window. Other islands out near us. We've got Wallace and Fortuna, Cook Islands, Niue, Tokelau, Wallace and Fortuna. And these are little island countries that you could get off the plane and maybe be the first Baptist to set foot on the island. So quite an opportunity, even in 2024, places that need the gospel. And so if we stop there and talking about missions, about giving and praying, we really have fallen short of what missions is all about. Missions is not just about raising money here to send laborers there. Missions is about caring for souls and caring about people that are without the gospel, whether they're right here or around the world or in other parts of the world. Missions is about your neighbor, your family, your friend, and your co-workers. And so who's going to take the gospel to them? It's probably not going to be this missionary to Nauru, that's for sure. And the Bible answer to that is you. God wants you to be a missionary right where you are. And we can profess to care much about souls in other countries, that we give money and we pray to send others, but then at the same time, we care little about those that we see every day, to the fact that we don't pray for them or invite them to church or care about the need of their soul. And so true biblical missions is about growing a care about all souls that need the Lord, whether it's across the street or around the world. And so if God has not called you to take the gospel over the sea and around the world, then by default, he has called you to be a missionary and take the gospel right across the street. And so going with the gospel yourself, God wants you to be a missionary every day. So the first thing we see is the Great Commission was given to the whole church. The Great Commission was given to the whole church. Taking the gospel to others is not just for pastors and missionaries. It is for the whole church, for every disciple, every member, every believer, every Christian needs to take the gospel to someone. And we see that as you read through the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." In Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24, 47, "That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In John 22, 21, Jesus said unto them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Acts 1, 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so all of these Great Commission references, he speaks to plural people, telling them to go. It's not just to individuals, but to each one of them. And also we see, number two, we need to give the gospel more than money. You know, often when we think about missions, we think about giving, we think about money and what the Lord wants us to give, but we need to give the gospel more than money. It says in Acts 3:6, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none," because he was a good Baptist, "but such things as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so the difference we can make with money is small compared to the difference we can make with the gospel. And you put prayer in there too. Money will not will increase our mission budget to the church, but the gospel will make an eternal difference to those who accept it. And so faith in Christ is what makes the difference. It says in Acts 3:16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And so Peter and John here at the temple had no money, but they had the gospel, and that was what they were sharing with others. So we need to give out the gospel also. We may not have lots of silver or gold, but we do have the gospel, and that is worth much more than silver or gold to those who are without the Savior. There was a missionary in our part of the world, in New Guinea, called James Chalmers, and he had great devotion, as did the men and women that he worked with that were taking the gospel back in these days. And so Mr. Murray first landed on Darnley Island in 1872, and a effort was made to intimidate the teachers from attempting to settle on another island. They would say, "There's alligators there," he said, "and snakes and centipedes." "Hold," said the teacher, "are there men there?" "Oh, yes," was the reply, "but the men are such dreadful savages, it's no use of you living among them."
He said, "That will do," replied the teacher. "Wherever there are men, missionaries are bound to go." And that's the truth wherever it is. Wherever people need the gospel, that's where missionaries are bound to go. Lastly, we want to see that Eaton needs you to be a missionary every day. Wherever God has placed Christians, that's where he wants you to serve. We are on Nauru. The gospel has reached Nauru. I don't know exactly when. I'm sure it was there before we arrived. But there are churches on the island that are preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ right now, and our church is among them. And that's something certainly to be thankful for. And I don't know what the other churches preach. I've only been to our church when we've been there. But Nauru is not in a situation that is waiting now for a missionary to bring the truth. We have the gospel. We have a Bible we can read and understand. And we need to be witnesses on the island of Nauru. And the same way, if God has not called you to be somewhere else, God wants you to be a missionary to Eaton, Ohio, and surrounding towns around here that also need the gospel. And it's up to us to be a missionary every day. Missions is not just about sending money to laborers overseas, but also going with the gospel right here where you live. If you would expect a missionary like myself to be a witness, then God wants you to be a witness yourself. If you would expect a missionary to start a church, then be faithful to your church right here. If you would expect a missionary to pray for souls to be saved, then God wants you to pray for souls to be saved also. And part of that starts in being a witness yourself. And I read a meme on Facebook not too long ago that talked about how many people come to church as a result of advertising is 2%. 6% were invited by the pastor, 6% from organized visitation, and 86% came to church because they were invited by a friend. And based on these numbers, that means that someone is 14 times more likely to come to church if you invite them instead of me as a missionary or your pastor. And we need to do our best. That's not an excuse for us not to invite people, but we certainly have a better chance of them coming if you invite them to come. And in my own personal testimony, I was born and raised in Australia, and I didn't get saved till one of my friends at my Christian school invited me to come to church. And his name was Thomas Howard. His family were missionaries in Australia, and that was how I got involved in the church and heard the gospel, and the Lord kind of worked in my life since then. But if he hadn't invited me to church, who knows where I'd be? It sure wouldn't be here in front of you, that's for sure. And so, missions is important, and missions giving is important. If you haven't started giving to missions, certainly would encourage you to do that. Start somewhere small and let the Lord grow your faith. But more important, maybe, even than giving to missions, is being a missionary every day. And making a commitment not just to give to missions, but to be a missionary yourself and reach other people with the gospel. Both commitments are so important between you and God that if God would direct you to make an effort at reaching others with the gospel, he'll certainly give you opportunities to do so. And it's so important that we realize that missions is not just about money and it's not just about people over there. It's about people right here. It's about your neighbors, your family, and your friends. And it's so important that we reach everyone with the gospel, not just those over there who've never heard, but even those who are right here that is still yet to hear the gospel also. I was raised in church and heard the gospel many, many times before I finally got saved, but it's so important that when we hear the gospel, we don't put it off. Sadly, hell is full of people who have heard the gospel and planned on accepting the gospel, but sadly, they never did. And so don't let that be you. Make sure that you have trusted in Christ personally and respond to the gospel today. Also ask yourself, have you taken your duty and command to share the gospel with others seriously? When was the last time you invited someone to church? Sometimes we can get in the habit of it, and it's a good habit to get in. When was the last time you gave someone a gospel tract? When was the last time you invited someone to your upcoming Christmas program? When was the last time you asked someone if they knew for sure if they were to die that heaven was their home? Such a simple question that gets people thinking about the gospel. Make a commitment to be a better steward of the gospel today. Again, don't just think about missions as people in Nauru and people in Senegal and people in other parts of the world. Think about missions as right across your street, right across your neighborhood, your neighbor, family, friend. It's so important that we reach the gospel with them also. Decide to be a missionary every day. If God hasn't called you to go somewhere else, somewhere far away, that still means he wants you to go right where you and I live. And that's so important that we take that responsibility seriously. If we could have our heads bowed and eyes closed as we think on these things this evening. The Lord has spoken to your heart. Would you take some time and respond back to him? Maybe the Lord's laying someone on your heart that you need to witness to or invite to church with you or bring them to the Christmas program. Maybe you have family members or friends that you've thought about inviting, or maybe you invited a while ago but you haven't followed up with. Maybe you just need to invite your friends to come to church at your school. Who knows, one of them might be the next missionary. The instrument's playing as we begin to sing. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, just take some time and respond back to him this evening.